Hey, will you sing a song with me?
I'd be very pleased to sing a song
with you. Sure look nice.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back in Folsom.
Well, I like to... I like to watch you talk.
I'm talking with my mouth. It's way
all
up
right,
here.
We got married in a fever.
Our good buddy Johnny Cash. How about that one? Like that Johnny Cash, huh? Jackson. Boy, that's Jackson, Mississippi he's talking about. And him and June Carter, and I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind going down there Par Pilgrim and finishing some unfinished business in Jackson Town, if you get what I mean. And this is War. Yes, sir. War Radio. P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And you can reach us on the internet at resist.com, or you can email us at warmetzger@aol.com. Subscribe to the Big War newspaper. That's $30 per year in the USA. It's $40 in Soviet Kanukistan, that's Canada, and $50 in all other offshore countries. Now, in the United States, of course, send us USA money, yeah, and in Canada, you send us US dollars too, and or money orders and like that. Or if you're in another country, please send U.S. funds and make the checks and money orders to John Metzger. Yes, that's correct, John Metzger. Now, if you'd like to call in and bitch or comment or ask questions, well, we got a 24/7 line for that. It's 760-723-8996, and there you can vent your spleen all you want. Well, we're about ready to go here. Dr. Kallenberg is in the studio, the knower of all truth.
The good truth morning. You all know.
Good morning there, Dr.
How you doing?
Kallenberg. I haven't seen you for a few days.
Yeah.
What's things like up in the high desert?
Actually, it's nice because the June gloom in San Diego, usually June is our cloudiest month. And it's come early, so it's in May, so it's nice and cool out there.
Is it true that they all get high in the high desert?
Oh, they're higher than me. Well, actually, that's mainly where a lot of the pot and crystal meth is made in this county.
I up know, in you know, Riverside County is the next county, and that's the and Riverside up in there is the meth capital of
yeah.
the world.
And Duluth, just a town above Fallbrook and all the woods, that's one of the big pot growing things in
Southern
California.
Yeah, they got that Fallbrook red hair, they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been popular for a long time.
Yeah. That's even more famous than you. Two things Fallbrook, or three things, yeah. Avocados, Tom Metzger, and good pot.
That's true. I don't think they're getting too much pot out there anymore because they got the feds crawling all over the place all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They used to come into the cafe down there, this big team of anti-drug guys, and God, they'd been out there all night roaming around in the hills.
Well, some of that goes for $1,200 an ounce, and something goes for $1,200 an ounce, and I think, what is a plant grows about, half a pound?
Yeah.
So they're growing it. Anything that's had that big of a profit margin, even if they got to dig underground.
Well, you know why it's going for that much? Because those damn federal guys are out there pulling them up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but this whole damn drug war is a pain in the ass.
Yeah. It's a parallel. There's three parallels. Prohibition, they declared war on prohibition. It was a complete failure. The war on drugs is a complete failure. The war on terror is going to be a complete failure. Because
the war on poverty was a complete failure.
Yeah, yeah. And like, to me, like, there's a great big parallel between the war on terror and the war on drugs. The more they try, the dumber things they do, the bigger the problem you make. Like, at the turn of the century, you know, opium used to be legal, like in Bakersfield, according to Louis L'Amour, the last gunfight in the American West was like 1905 in an opium den out of Bakersfield. Between a hooker and some bank robbers and the sheriffs up there. But it was legal, and people used to use all kinds of really heavy drugs. It was legal and it was cheap, and there was really no problem. You know, people would take their drugs, they'd get high, and the next day they'd go to work, and they wouldn't have to rob anything because the drugs were cheap, and after work they'd go and smoke. You know, now, you know, you know, be a drug addict, you gotta be a millionaire practically.
You gotta rob all your neighbors.
Oh yeah, you gotta steal everything. If anybody gets in your high, you're bitchy and crabby, anybody gets in the way, if you steal in a stereo, they kill them. And, I mean, they made crime outrageous. The black community, you know, the war on drugs really ripped the black community apart.
Well, that's because the war against crime is a very beneficial.
Yeah, we're all very lucrative.
It's a money making deal.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have more courts. You got to have more
prisons.
More prisons.
Oh, yeah.
More jails.
Yeah,
more equipment.
More guns. Easier for people in the law enforcement industry to produce. Same with the war on terrorism. You know, the more they fight it, the bigger mess they get. Look at all this crap. You know, they go into Iraq, even though Iraq was completely innocent on 9/11. You know, they kill all these Iraqi people. You know, they have this bizarre homosexual scandal that, you know, like Rumsfeld said, the worst is yet to come out. And I've heard a lot of what's on this DVD tape. And
probably over there boogering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I heard the worst is yet to come out. And now today, 45 Iraqis were having a wedding. And you know how the Iraqis must be like Mexicans, like Mexican weddings, they're always shooting guns in the air. So these Iraqis were shooting guns in the air, and here came an American helicopter and thought they were getting fired at, and sprayed them, killed 45 people, I think about 15 of them were kids.
Why
are they
shot the shit out of the helicopter and it fell on them?
No, that's probably the spin they're going to have. That's the spin they're going to have.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man. That's right. The law business is very lucrative.
Yeah.
And boy, they skim so much off the top.
Oh yeah, and now with this war on terrorism, it's going to be careers are going to be making. There's going to be Homeland Security thing. A lot of people are going to make a career out of that, and that's job security. And whenever you have a government and you have a thing where there's a whole bunch of people who can make a career, those bureaucracies are going to be impossible to get rid of now.
Oh, yeah, once they're in there.
Yeah, because all these cops are saying, well, we can really make a whole lot of money fighting this terrorist thing.
Right. Yeah, how about that Nick Berg deal? He's the second guy to give his life for the people.
The second Jew to give his head?
Yeah.
That other one, Perlman got his head chopped off.
He'll never give head in Iraq anymore, I'll tell you that.
That's true.
Yeah, that's my joke. Okay? But these Jews are always getting crucified over there.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it, that he knew Arabic and everything, and I guess he loaned his computer in the 12th 9/11 terrorist, the guy that got away, used his, Nick Berg's computer and his email to email these other Qaeda people. And then he goes over there. He goes to Iran, but he's got Israel stamped on his passport. But he was not in Iran at the time.
Yeah.
And then he knew Arabic, and he had connections with the Qaeda guys, and the Qaeda guys chop his head off. That's kind of a bizarre coincidence, you know. And then you see his video. I mean, there's, you know, like when I was a little kid, I used to kill chickens and pigeons and stuff, and even pigeons had a lot of blood when you cut their heads off. I mean, it's surprising me that there's hardly any blood. You know, they put the head on the pillow, and it's a pink pillow, but there's no blood stains. It seems like in the video, the blood stains would have come out black or something.
Well, the whole thing's sort of weird, if you ask me. And however, actually, cutting a head off is more humane than you think.
Yeah.
I guess shooting in the head would be the most humane, because it'd be real quick. But there's a lot, when you're dropping napalm on people, you ever get phosphorus dropped on you? I mean, no
I haven't.
But boy, I guess they get a little bit on your arm and you can't put it out. You got to smother it.
Well, you see that in the oil fields, because like in Bakersfield, like all the loose oil's all sucked up, and it's either in sand or it's in shale. When it's shale, they drop phosphorus down the hole and they burn it up, and then they break up the oil and suck it out. And we used to take phosphorus out to the Lake Isabella and stuff, and just throw it in the water, and it'd just blow up like a bomb.
Oh man, you were dangerous way back then, man.
Well, but phosphorus to me said, because if you get it on your skin, the moisture on your skin, we didn't have that much, it'll make it itch. I mean, the military stuff would kill you, but the stuff we're using in the oil field will really make you itch and burn and stuff.
I'll tell you what, I'm trying to figure out the rules of this whole thing. Now, you see, you can't bugger them in the jail, and you can't nigger pile them, right?
Yeah.
And you can't put ropes around their neck. You've got to bomb them.
Yeah,
see,
napalm.
Bombing them and napalming them. And that kind of stuff, and burying them alive, mm-hmm. like they did in the first war over there. Now, that's okay. The book says that's all right.
Yeah.
But you can't do this stuff.
Yeah.
So isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is kind of bizarre.
They bomb their houses?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. You know, but don't. Don't dogpile them.
It just shows how bizarre people are. You know, in the first Iraqi war, a quarter of a million Iraqis were killed, you know, under George Bush the First.
Right.
And Iraqi people weren't that upset. But then you pull a bunch of naked men dogpiling on there, and they want to commit murder. You know, they don't care that a quarter of a million of them died.
Well, they're nuts on both sides.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Both sides are nuts.
Yeah.
You know, the Arabs, they're nuts,
mm-hmm.
and our government's nuts.
Yeah.
So when you... Well, the Christians.
Yeah.
The Christians that are running our government.
Oh, yeah.
Or so-called Christians. Like Rumsfeld. He should be in a nut house.
Oh, did you hear that Gene Simmons, you know, the Jew that's the head of KISS, the group KISS? You know, the guys that wear the makeup and
stuff? I guess I'm getting old. I'm thinking of Gene Simmons, the actress that played, what's her name, Amy McPherson in that movie of... You know, the one that started the big religious movement? That was Gene Simmons,
really?
The actress.
Oh, that's Gene Simmons, the rock star.
Well, anyway, how old I'm getting.
He was in Australia talking on the TV, and he's a big, outspoken Jew. And he said that on the radio that Islam is a vile religion, and it's coming to a neighborhood near you, and it's going to destroy your homes and your nations and stuff like that. So, you know, look at a little comment like that. I mean, they just went nuts over Australia. They wanted to get him for a hate crime and everything.
Can you imagine? I mean, the Al-Qaeda's been around now quite a while.
Yeah.
And outside 9/11, nothing's happened in this country, right?
Yeah.
Not one thing has happened in this country. Now, if there's Al-Qaeda running all over the United States, they must be pretty piss poor. I mean, they could have been doing all kinds of crap, but they don't need airplanes to do it.
I think they're shortchanging at 7/11. That's their big plan.
They're
going to bankrupt America by shortchanging everybody in their hot dogs.
Maybe they needed some more money, so maybe they went to work at 7-Eleven until they can buy some more guns.
Yeah, they spit in our Cokes.
Oh,
that's a big thing. Bacterial war.
Well, people should eat at home, man.
Yeah.
They're busting all these restaurants for being filthy, dirty, and these greasy Mexicans. And
God.
They find cockroaches in there, salmonella and everything. This will get people, if you got any brains, to go home and fix your food at home. right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow. You know, I'm really pissed off, Doctor.
How come?
I went to sing karaoke the other day up at the Pala Casino,
mm-hmm.
Which I do once in a while. That's about 20 miles up there, and I drove my big gas guzzler all the way up there, and I got mm-hmm. in, and I saw the curtains all around the thing, and I said, oh, shit. They had it all blocked off, and I went mm-hmm. up. I said, what's going on? No karaoke? No, no karaoke today. We have back-to-back Vietnamese music concert, Vietnamese. There must have been almost 1,000 Vietnamese running around there like little insects. And I just turned around, and I said, well, fuck this place, and loud as I could say it, and walked out. I ain't never going back.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to the little places where they got karaoke.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about those teenagers down there in Texas, Jasper? They desecrated the grave of James Byrd Jr., the black man who was dragged to his death from a pickup truck in 1998.
That's a drag.
They alleged that Mr. King did it.
And, desecrated the cereal? Desecrated his grave?
Yeah, they tipped over the tombstone.
Mm-hmm. And got out of prison.
They put anti-black messages on the headstone and mm-hmm. things like that. So they got him arrested, and they'll probably give him the death penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, it said they put racial slurs and profanities were etched last week into a steel plate covering part of the vault of Byrd's grave, and his headstone was knocked over.
But now we got a headstone.
Well, he's not a Jew, so they're not going to get too excited. You know, if you did that to a Jew cemetery, they'd have all the FBI after
mm-hmm.
you. But in this case, they probably won't get... criminal mischief, that's all they're going to get. Well, they'll probably have to go down and clean up a nigger's house or something for a couple of weeks, yeah. I hear you got enough money to go to the movies. What'd you see?
Troy.
Troy. Well, I commented on that on my other phone, on the phone machine. What did you think of it?
Well, to show you how politically correct things are, Achilles, they made Achilles the anti-Achillean hero. Because, you know, the Achillean life is that he had a choice. The goddess Artemis.
I didn't like him.
You didn't like Achilles?
No.
Well, Achilles was
Hector.
Yeah. Well, Achilles in Homer, Aphrodites. Aphrodites, that's a god. Well, Aphrodites made a deal with Achilles and said that he could live a long life and live forever and be a nobody, or he could live a short life and be a hero. And Achilles wanted to be a hero because he wanted to be the ideal warrior. So he was fanatic about war. He loved war.
Yes, he did.
In Homer. But in this movie, he was haunted or something, you know, like he played like it was some terrible curse that he was fighting and stuff. And they took Homer and they took all the mysticism out of it and all the magic out of it. And
well,
basically made it into like an anti-Homer thing.
Well, I got the point that he liked war. I mean,
But he always looked like he was haunted, and he was always brooding.
Well, he's loving the king. He didn't like that king.
Yeah.
Well, the king. At least they made the king say, "This hell thing is a bunch of crap. I just want to attack Troy and take it."
Yeah.
Because this thing about 1,000 ships going after one chick.
Yeah.
I mean, there's millions of chicks. Yeah. What do we need? The most beautiful woman in the world?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Risk all my Navy on a bitch?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What a shit. This is a family show. Anyhow, well, that horse bit, too. That's got to be mythology because nobody in their right mind, they got the strongest walled city mm-hmm. in the Middle East, and they ain't letting anybody in there, and then they see a big wooden horse out there, and they're going to drag it in?
Yeah.
Obviously built by your enemy? Well, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. But the prince was sharp. He said, "Burn that son of a bitch." And the dad and the king dad, "Oh no, we'll say, look, that'd have been funny as hell. They'd burn that horse.
Well,
all those Greeks would have come."
Well, that was the thing in Homer. Is a lot of stuff they left out is like Cassandra and Laocoon told him that it was a trap and stuff. It was just that the whole thing in Homer is the king was kind of a good-hearted fool.
Yeah.
And he was a fool, and he brought in a lot of people. And Homer told him to get rid of. That there's something wrong. You know. What about Laocoon said? Beware of Greeks presenting gifts,
bearing
gifts.
Yeah,
that's out of Homer, and that
he was like senile, that king.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that was the point that he was a nice guy, but he was kind of an idiot. And and the thing is, in Achilles died before the Trojan horse.
Oh,
you know,
it's interesting that
they have this giant army there,
mm-hmm.
and they got no food for them,
mm-hmm.
and they have to go out and forage among the farmers that didn't like Troy,
mm-hmm.
and actually wasn't with Troy, but the fact that these guys were robbing all their food made them side with Troy, too.
Yeah.
And that battle went on for 10 years.
Yeah, I know. That's why they had it in the movie. They had it just a couple days. I think it was almost 20 years, wasn't it?
Well,
it was a long, long time.
I don't know. I heard 10 years, but maybe it was 20 years.
Yeah, and in the movie they had it just a couple days, you know.
Can you imagine going to a battle like that and being on the beach for 10 years?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And the other thing, you see all those ships in the ocean, right? How in the hell could they get them all side by side up on the beach? There was too damn many ships.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have gone for 50 miles down the beach with all those ships.
Yeah.
And you mean they only had one sentry out to see that, they just split them?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Navy was just around the corner?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, the movie was kind of... There's a lot of stuff, you know, they left out or they distorted. And like the thing with the arrow in the heels, in the book, you know, is his mother dipped him in the river of Styx, and she held him, Achilles, by the heel, and that's the only part of him that wasn't protected, because the river Styx is the river between this world and the other world. And so he was supposed to be magically protected, and that's why the only thing that killed him was an arrow in the heel, but they had him getting shot in the chest, and then he broke the arrows. And a lot of stuff that was in Homer, it's just like he kind of poop, you know, that's what kind of got me. If you're going to make a book about Homer, make it about Homer, not just whatever your fancy
is.
Well,
that's Hollywood. Yeah. I'm there. And there was a lot of people in the theater, but I almost went to sleep. And then those love scenes, I mean, you know, they put that stuff in for the women. You know, most of that love stuff they put in for the women.
And too, like the battle scenes weren't even, because the Spartans are famous for having tight formations.
Yes.
And all of this individual jumping up in the air and throwing, you know, the Spartans would have never fought like that. I mean, you jump up in the air, the first thing that somebody's going to do is jab you with a sword. That was
I liked it when they rolled those big balls of fire
down. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty good. Well, wait a minute, that was Achilles was doing that jumping up and stuff.
Well, they showed a lot of the Spartans doing that too, and they didn't fight. Like I said, they're famous because they fought in rows, very tight rows.
Yeah.
And they had their shield locked, and they had like the 9 feet long spears and stuff. And, they would just like slowly move and come, and they were just like a big boulder coming at you.
See, now I understand that Rome used that as sort of their guidelines for their armies.
Oh, yeah, well, they based a lot of it.
Their sister city, Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Alexander the Great made it his.
Romans. They believe that they came from Troy. When Troy fell, that the remaining Trojans they floated around in the ocean. They went to Libya, then they went to Carthage, and then they settled in Rome.
Yeah, well, like Alexander the Great too.
He said he went back to Troy and he found Achilles' shield, and then he kept it.
Yeah. Well, I think he did.
He found his shield.
Wow. Well, Doctor, do you see any other movies?
Yeah.
I think we milked that as far as we can go.
Yeah, a change of pace. I saw 13 going on 30.
Oh, come on.
It was funny.
That's a rinky-dinky kiddie show.
Have you still not?
Huh?
No, it's got Jennifer Gardner grabbing her boobs and in a nightgown and stuff. It was good stuff.
Wait a minute. We can't go to movies like that. No, Aaron,
I can.
We're pure guys. Grabbing the boobies.
Yeah.
What was the movie about?
Well, it was about this a girl that was 13, and she hated her life, and she was kind of a nerd, and she wished she was 30 at her birthday party, and this guy that really loved her, you know, was kind of a geek, too. He made this house for her, and he put, like, little magic dust on it that he bought from some trick store, and she went threw it away and got mad at him because, you know, she wanted to be with the cool kids. And then the magic dust, when she fell on her, you know, she threw the house away and it fell on her. And she goes, oh, I wish I was, 30. I hate being a kid. Then next morning she woke up and she was 30 years old, but she was still like a little girl in the mind.
Oh, I saw that preview. Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
What was the other one you saw?
That was the one movie, 13 going on 30.
Well, I think
I thought it was, every now and then you got to have a funny movie.
Hey, now, some people say that this Van Helsing is pretty good, and some say it's, whatever.
I liked it. My problem with it is it was like a non-ending roller coaster.
Yeah.
I mean, it was too much action.
Well,
I mean, it was action after action.
If you can't act, you have action.
Yeah.
In other words, if there's no dialogue,
mm-hmm.
you have to have action.
Yeah.
And then they got all this...
special effects. It is actually, I guess, the Universal Studio, they have a ride made after it. And I guess the ride just opened up, and it was like being on a ride.
Yeah.
I can see how the ride is like, because it's all constant monsters, you know, jumping out. So I imagine the roller coaster ride, like how they got Dracula and all kinds of jumping out, because the movie was just constantly like you're on a roller coaster, you know?
I think I mentioned last time about Manchurian Candidate.
Oh, yeah. The Gar.
Denzel Washington is the hero this time. And, you know, Frank Sinatra would probably roll over his grave. However, I don't know how he would feel about that. He ran around with that one-eyed Jew a long time.
Oh, the Sammy Davis?
Yeah. So anyhow, that I'm not even going to go see it.
No.
Well,
same with that iRobot. You know, that Isaac Isenoff book about a detective who investigates robots that are committing murder and stuff. Well, you know, that was a white guy in the book, and they're going to have that Will Williams as being the guy. So they're taking a lot of, like, classical literature, and they're, you know, they're putting nigs in.
That sounds like that other movie, that really good classic movie where the cops are trying to find the androids that are like people.
Oh, Blade Runner?
Blade Runner. Yeah. That sounds like that one.
Yeah.
That was good. Well, I see the Chinese are importing more oil. That's finally hitting the newspapers. We talked about it before.
Mm-hmm. Industrializing.
7% of the world's oil.
They're going to be the new superpower because they've got a single nation. They've got one culture. They're a united people, and they're centralizing. They're industrializing, and they're going to be the power of this century.
Yeah, in other words, the big corporations are just scrambling to invest over there. A Wall Street Journal day before yesterday saying, they're just going nuts, all these big corporations pouring into China. These people are all traitors to this country. I mean, under any kind of reasonable nationalist government, they'd be executed.
Well, I got a big thing.
In fact, China would execute them if it was in
reverse. Oh, yeah.
If all their industry, whatever they had, was coming over here, they'd execute the bastards.
I just got a big thing last night in my mail from a Motley Fools. You know, I'm subscribed to their internet.
Oh, those guys, yeah.
And they had a big thing about how China is the wave of the future. Invest in China. It's industrializing. Yeah. It is a capitalist paradise.
Just like Khrushchev said, we'll
ground you,
sell you the rope they'll hang you with. You know, that's the way the capitalists are, man.
Oh, yeah.
These people are absolute traitors to this country.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to suffer someday, and I hope it's quicker than we think.
Yeah. Lenin was the first one that said that the capitalists will sell you the rope you will use to hang you with.
No, it was Khrushchev.
Well, I think Lenin said it before.
Well,
that.
Maybe he did, but Khrushchev made it popular. Yeah.
Oh, that guy in the movie in iRobot, it was Will Smith was his name.
Not Will Williams.
Nope.
I talked to Will Williams the other day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he's got himself a Russian wife now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but she's still over there in Siberia.
Uh-oh.
Well, I don't make for much of her love life.
No.
But I guess
he's... But she got long whips.
Well, he's trying to get her over here.
Yeah.
So I guess if he gets her over there. I don't understand it, going thousands of miles to get a woman.
Yeah.
I go half a block here and find a nice woman. Well, maybe two blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And I see an FBI agent admits lying in a spy case. The FBI agent lied.
I'll be darned.
And,
that is a shocker.
It had to do with the former FBI agent charged with allowing classified documents to fall into the hands of his lover, a woman suspected of being a Chinese double agent.
Yeah.
Pleaded guilty Wednesday to lying about their affair.
Oh, you know one thing.
So these FBI guys are screwing the gooks.
Talking about the FBI.
Why do they hate us?
You know, one thing that's interesting is that, you know, this Berg, they said that he was attained and interviewed by the FBI in Iraq.
Yeah.
Then I heard that the FBI has opened an office in Moscow.
Yeah.
When did the Federal Bureau of Investigation become the International Bureau of Investigation?
Oh, it started several years ago, putting their offices in every country in the world.
Yeah, because that used to be the CIA's job, not the FBI's.
Well, of course. And, even the CIA wasn't that blatant about it. You know, they were sort of secret, you know.
Yeah.
But the FBI now, they're putting them... And nobody even says anything. No congressman or senator says... Well, what the hell? We got FBI offices in every country in the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody that's even trying to have a separation of powers, and you know, it's the pig. You know, pretty soon maybe the L.A. Police Department's going to be investigating people in Iraq or something. You know.
Well, they're already sending police over there from agencies like Los Angeles.
Oh no, Chavez is probably being facetious.
Well, yeah, they do that. Bring them in as experts and this and that. Yeah. Of course, LAPD is a very large police organization, mm-hmm. and they've got all kinds of experts. Yeah. So these guys, they do go into these countries.
There was one time not long ago when people wanted to actually separate police powers and have a little limit on the sons of bitches.
It's all over, man. It's all over. It's all over. Well, speaking of some shady stuff, guess what this weekend is?
What?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all the usual suspects are coming together in Louisiana.
Uh-oh.
The immutable David Duke, you know, he's out of the slammer, and he's he needs some money to go to Europe. And these guys that he's bringing in don't know that yet, but he's bringing them in to get himself some money to go over to Europe and hang out there for a while.
Good.
So he's bringing, like I say, the usual suspects.
How's he going to get into Europe without getting arrested?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, he'll say whatever he has to say, I guess. But well, maybe he'll go back to Russia. Who knows?
But he's a felon and a racist.
I know. It's not, I don't. I thought that he couldn't run for office, but I guess he's talking about running for Congress or something.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I read an article that he's talking about it, but then they were talking about some state locals, and they said, well, since he's a felon, he can't run.
Well, the newspaper article I read said he could run for federal office as a felon. That don't make sense. That was in a Times-Picayune.
I read a different one that said
they followed maybe Duke's exploits pretty closely down there. Well, they got all the, you know, fields, all of them, they're coming down there, and they're going to have a high-o time. So,
roast marshmallows.
Hey, you know what? I wasn't even invited.
I wonder why.
I'm feeling so bad. Well, I'll tell you, these are all right-wing conservative types, and that's all they want, because they're going to invigorate, they're going to revive the right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since that corpse has been in the grave for several years, it's going to be harder to revive the right than bringing life to Lazarus.
Yeah, it's kind of like Jesus or Dracula rising from the grave.
Well, if they call me and want me to run down there, I'll let you know, okay? All right. Don't these people realize that you've got at least one felon, you got two felons with Don Black, and they're coming together like the Appalachian thing was with the mob, you know? Now, haven't these guys heard of the RICO statute?
Yeah.
Haven't they heard of the Patriot Act?
Mm-hmm.
Why, hell, they're walking right into it if they want to use it. The government may want just to gather information because there's going to be a damn microphone under every chair in a damn meeting. You know that. How many informants you think are going to be there?
Probably about a third.
You know who the main
more.
Informant is going to be? Duke, probably, because they got his ass in a bind.
Yeah.
He had to make a deal to get a light sentence, what, 15 months? He had to make a deal and give them everything they asked for.
Yeah.
And they still got an arm on him. So I would want to have him strip searched, that's for sure. But
you know, I just thought of something. You know the movie Van Helsing, the fighting the vampires?
Yeah.
You know how much history would have been better if Van Helsing could have gone back 2,000 years ago to the time of Christ, and when Christ rose out of the grave, drive a spike through Jesus' heart and have him turn to ashes?
Now, what the hell? We're talking about the usual suspects. We're down there at this big mafia meeting of the right wing. We're really covering that shit, and all of a sudden, you're back with Dracula. Well, I think Dracula's pretty cool myself, but I think he represents...
Well, you were talking about right wing.
He represents the Jew. Dracula represents the Jew, the whole symbolism.
Uh-huh.
He carries his dirt around with him, like the Jews, they take bring their culture everywhere they go. And they can't stand the sun, which is Aryan.
Yeah.
You know, they got to be in darkness all the time. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is symbolic. We used to have a good story about that in one of our papers.
Well, if you know the first Dracula movie, he wore a Star of David, but then now the computerized taken it out. But there's actually some photographs and books of Dracula wearing a Star of David.
Well, they used to show it on television, and it had the Star of David.
Yeah, they don't have it in the movie anymore.
Hey, no, I don't know what I mentioned, but a woman gave me a sword that her husband had. He was in the military, retired. Marine, and on that sword is engraved right up to the top of the hilt, guess what? A Star of David.
Hmm.
What the hell's a Star of David doing on a Marine Corps sword?
Well, it's on the back of the $1 bill.
Yeah, so, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Congressional Medal of Honor, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy. Oh, we're not controlled by anything Jewish here. It's just a symbol.
Saw on the TV that the support for the Iraqi war is down to 29%.
The what?
The Iraqi war, the support is 29%.
Oh, yeah, and Bush's popularity has gone, is tanked.
Oh, yeah. And the amazing thing about it is Kerry, nobody likes Kerry, it's just everybody hates Bush, because Kerry's kind of just like a wet blanket, you know?
Yeah, and I can't wait for this Michael Moore movie to come out right before the election.
Well, I heard in France it really got a big reception.
They're doing everything they can to keep it out of theaters.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Well, I guess he even talks about the Iraqi prisoner sex games and stuff in there.
Well, he put he got cameramen in there on the war zone.
Oh, really?
And they didn't know it was him. His people.
Uh-huh.
And he's got this stuff right out there where they're shooting people and everything, I guess. Some really bizarre footage.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't realize it was him and why he was doing it.
Yeah.
They were just like regular film crews, news, you know. Well, he's got some hot stuff, I guess.
I wonder where that's coming to the United States or if Bush can keep it out.
Well, in this case, I would go along.
It's called Fahrenheit 9/11, right?
Yeah. In this case, I sort of go along with the left on this because, you know, they're just buttering their bread, too, you know. But when that thing comes out, man, I'll tell you, and you know, that Michael Moore, he serves his own interests, you know, but still, I think it's going to be, I just hope that somehow Bush gets defeated. On the other hand, though, maybe we should say, let's keep Bush in there. He's such a bumbling fool.
Yeah.
Maybe we're better off keeping him in there. I mean, from our point of view.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it's kind of good to go back and forth because the Democrats are such both idiots, they kind of cancel each other out when you keep them going back and forth. They don't get too much power. And plus, when Kerry gets in, Kerry will fuck up things. He'll fuck up things in a different way than Bush does, but they'll still fuck up things.
Yeah, they're both parties. One screws
just like them. Just like Clinton. Clinton, you know, God, when was the last time we had a president who wasn't an idiot, you know?
Yeah, right.
And you got Reagan that was just slept through his presidency.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jimmy Carter was a complete fool.
Yeah.
You know, Ford was a fool.
Yeah, and
Nixon was a crook.
Oh, he opened up China.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Democrats.
Yeah.
Look at all these conservatives that when he went to China, then all of it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Red China.
Mm-hmm.
He opened it up. He took Rockefeller over there. He took all the boys over there.
Well, he said that since he had a long reputation of being an anti-communist, that he could do more things than the radical left could do.
Sure. Sure.
So, you know.
That's what they wanted to do.
Yeah. Look at Johnson. Johnson was in Vietnam War. He was a complete idiot. Kennedy was, you know, even though they make him into a saint, you know, he was a boob. He was the one that got us into Vietnam War, almost got us into nuclear war with the Bay of Pigs.
Wait a minute. Kennedy now, he was bringing the troops back. He wanted to get out of Vietnam. He brought 14,000 back before he was assassinated.
Yeah, but he's the one that got us in there in the first place.
Oh, yeah, he sent some advisors over there, but he was getting a lot of pressure from the military-industrial complex. Don't get me to say I love the Kennedys, because I don't, but at least he was maybe doing a little bit of something. And Johnson killed him. I'm convinced of that.
Oh, yeah.
Johnson killed him, and I think the testimony of the girlfriend of Lee Harvey Oswald pretty much clinches it. And then the fact they were having a big party the night before the assassination, and all the Nixon was there, and the FBI chief was there, and all these people were there in Johnson's place, you know, so.
Oh, did you see that Oliver Stone movie in Nixon?
Yeah.
Where the JFK was, you know, it didn't really bring up the Johnson connection, but the one Nixon, he pretty well implied that Johnson was behind it. And also they had a scene in there where Nixon kind of figured out Johnson was behind it, and they showed Nixon kind of being afraid of LBJ.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, there was a scene in there. I guess he was talking to him on the phone, and he was kind of hemming and hawing about the Kennedy assassination. And you kind of, you know, you knew that Nixon knew that Johnson had something to do with it.
I'm going to have to watch that movie again.
It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Have you been keeping track of that date rape trial up in L.A. with the sheriffs?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the most vile thing about the pool cues and stuff like that? Tell you how bizarre and stupid people are is these kids were filming it, so their ass is grass no matter what, and they showed them that they were shoving a pool cue up her vagina, and they were pushing down her stomach and seeing how far it would go, and then at the same time, they took a bottle of Snapple, you know, those big Snapple bottles, shoved it up her vagina and a beer bottle, and got them both up there, and they're filming it all the time, and they're passing out and stuff, and if those kids don't get to the max and stuff, you know.
Did you hear what she said? She said, well, I didn't know what they were doing because I was out of it, but if I'd have known, I'd have let them do it anyhow.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, she's 16 years old, and they were all 18 or older, And then there's a good chance that they're using a date rape jab. And plus, in California, if you're passed out, you can't have sex with someone that's passed out.
No, I know that. I know that that's a bad deal, of course.
Yeah.
But she said she wanted to be a porn star.
Well, that's what the defense said, but from what I've understand that there's question whether she actually said that, and that just may be what the defense lawyers are saying.
Well, it's pretty damn bizarre stuff, man. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, in Rumsfeld, I was reading, I guess, the New Yorker's website that I guess there's a lot of evidence that Rumsfeld actually gave the order for all these unusual questioning techniques in Iraqi prisoners.
Well, that figures.
Yeah.
There was a secret deal, mm-hmm. something going on there.
Yeah. Well, you know about in Arizona, you know, that creep that has that Maricopa County prison?
Yeah, I've got something on that.
Yeah, like he's having prisoners out in 120 degrees of weather, and he told them if it got too hot, they can just run around in their underwear, and they get all sunburned and stuff. And he gives them, like, green bologna. He comes on KFI and brags that the bologna's green. That John and Ken are always laughing about him eating green bologna. They don't give him. They only give him so much water a day. And you know, one of these days that thing's going to blow up and kill all those motherfuckers.
Yeah. In fact, I received something like that on the internet that showed all of what he was doing down there. And then the person who was putting it out was not on our side. Was saying, "Well, this is what the GIs have to go through every day over So these guys shouldn't cry." Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, most of them they're in for minor crimes. It's not like they're
well.
Big
one
criminal.
Guy been in there said for 11 years.
No, that was a year and a half. It was a year and a half.
Oh, I thought he said 11.
Yeah, I read that thing. When I first saw it, I thought it said 11 years, but it's a year and a half. But basically, they're mainly there for drunk driving and alimony stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like they're not robbers or anything.
He makes them wear pink shorts.
Pink shorts.
Pink socks.
Yeah. And he gets bologna that he's green. He bragged on KFI that the bologna's got green because they get it out of the dumpsters and stuff.
Well, if we did that over there in Iraq. See,
yeah.
Big hell raising.
Well, that's the Iraqi thing. Is all that stuff goes on in American prisons.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
Sure it does. All the time. Well, incidentally, the radio show is up and running again in all its grandeur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had some problems there for a while. I could only hear like 36 seconds of the show.
Yeah, I know. I had the same thing. I'd turn it on and it'd go off, I think, because the server maybe couldn't handle the traffic or something.
The minute we got on this new server, it's fine.
Yeah, I think it was the server just had problems with the traffic.
I think we got most of them up now again. Maybe not all of them, but we're gradually getting them all up there.
Yeah.
And putting out Terrible Tommy's Country Show up there. Yeah, we got I think there's three of them up there now.
Hmm.
I'm starting my next one here. I'm not sure who I'm going to showcase this time.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Maybe Johnny Cash.
Whoa.
Or something. But I'll tell you, boy, I had fun last night doing the karaoke, man, down at the local gin mill.
Where's that?
The Packing House.
Oh, the Packing House.
The world famous Packing House.
Yeah.
Now the guy's going to be in there twice a week.
Whoa.
Well, I can't go twice a week, man. During the week, man, mm-hmm. I don't want to get up, man.
You know, kidding.
Yeah. You know, they're crying, these police officers around the country, that there's a shortage of police officers.
Oh, no.
They need more copperoodies. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
More pigs.
They're going to have to close some substations around.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know, crime will go down.
Yeah.
When there's less cops.
Oh, yeah.
Because people take care of their own problems.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they're liable to work themselves right out of a job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard that, you know who Heidi Klum is? Really beautiful German model?
Hell no, I never heard of her.
Oh. Well, you don't know anything about the popular culture.
Did we go to different schools together?
No, the revolutionary sea swims in the pee of the sea of the people.
Well, they're not the people. These ding-dongs you talk about, they're the weirdos.
No, they are cultural icons. They are the people who control
the
masses.
Well, that's not the sea of the people, though. That's the people that on the backs of the sea of the people.
That's the pee and the sea of the people.
Okay, all right.
But anyway, Heidi Klum's this beautiful German model, and she's just had a baby, and then they showed her no new boyfriend. She's dating the ugliest nigger, this nigger called Seal. He's got these huge, like, zit scars all over his face, and even for a nigger, he looks ugly, but she's throwing himself at him.
Well,
just to prove people,
you know,
she's not prejudiced.
What do you say? What are you going to say about that?
Hang him.
Well, yeah, but, yeah, that's true, but I'd say the Well, the problem is you're going to have a half-breed kid.
Yeah.
And because you know she won't stay with him.
No.
And then a half-breed kid will grow up. And
oh, yeah, and she'll go off, and then she'll find a white guy, marry the white guy, and then they'll only want to have one kid, so they'll have the half-breed kid and the white couple. You know, I see that all the time, where you got two white people, and they got a darky kid.
Yeah.
I mean, especially around here, you know, you just constant. You see it all the time.
All the time.
I heard that one of the guards, the guy that took the photos of the Iraqi prison guards, he got sentenced today, and he plea bargained out to 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they're going to bust him down to a private and give him a dishonorable discharge.
I see there was an African-American in there, too.
Yeah, well, this guy's not a white guy. I don't know if he's a nigger or a spick or something, but he's a colored.
That gal's a little suspect to me.
Yeah, she looks, you know.
Some kind of crossbred.
Yeah, like a part Indian in her eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks like she's got Indian blood or something.
Well, he got out pretty easy with a year.
Well, huh? he rolled on over on everybody, so that's.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting because all the Iraqis, the Muslim law says, you know, for homosexuality, the punishment is beheading. And that's basically what they did, and they're just giving him a year, so they might as well just gave the guy a medal, you know, in the Iraqis' eyes, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, this last weekend they had the Japanese and the American veterans down here in San Diego on that Midway carrier.
Oh, really?
The old Midway.
Did they do karaoke?
Didn't do any karaoke, but they played Glenn Miller and all.
Ooh.
And these pilots, the Jap Zero pilots and American pilots, they all got together and said, "All is forgiven. We love you."
Oh boy!
And just had a high old time, except they had to have a lot of interpreters around.
You know, it'd be really funny if they had to get together and all these American soldiers were waiting there, and the Japs would get into like a Zero and just crash into the American soldiers.
Oh,
for one last time, whack them.
Come on, man.
That would've been funny.
They did have a gesture. They had a Japanese Zero and an American fighter plane, and they flew wingtip to wingtip over the crowd.
Didn't crash into
anybody. Over the Midway ship. Didn't crash it. Hey, there ain't no Zero going to sink a Midway. A battleship or a carrier, those things were made out of balsa wood, those Japanese Zeros.
Yeah.
They were good little planes, but boy, if they got hit at all, they went down, man. So that was happening down here in good old San Diego.
Yeah.
All is forgiven.
Doggone.
I bet they don't all forgive them. I bet there's guys down at the BFW saying bullshit.
I know.
Now, somebody sent me some statements by this gal. And her name is Maxine.
Uh-huh.
And says, "I can't use the cell phone in the car. I have to keep my hands free from making gestures." And then she said, Maxine on life, she said, "Life is like an oven. It burns my buns." Now, you're not laughing at all. You're
no.
Just sitting there looking at me. With
who the fuck's Maxine?
Who cares who Maxine? I do my housework in the nude. It gives me an incentive to clean the mirrors as quickly as possible. Come on now, I got to have a little. I should have had the sound effects
on
here. The key to a nice looking lawn is a good mower. I recommend one who is muscular and shirtless. That's what she said.
Hmm.
Probably a Mexican, you know.
Probably.
Well, the hell with it. I ain't gonna read the damn thing. You ain't gonna laugh and make
it
funny, man. Come on. What else we got?
It's not my bag of
stuff. We're running out of news, man.
I know.
You're usually yelling and screaming by this time in the show. Well, anyhow, the Crips and the Bloods are at it again.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, they are. Well, I want to ship them over there to Iraq because the Crips and Bloods would have had that thing taken care of in
no
time. They wouldn't get away with that drive-by shit with them.
Yeah.
They'd be doing the drive-by shit,
yeah.
You know? The Indians are getting too damn fat.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so they're starting some camps up to fight diabetes among the American Indians. It said, in an effort to combat diabetes in the American Indian population, the Indian Health Care Resource Center is offering two summer camps for American Indian children.
Oh.
And that's out there in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they're going to handle it?
How?
They ain't going to feed their asses. That's how they're going to handle it. There's a new play making the rounds, and it's about racism. It says, the Heller Theater presents playwright Rebecca Gilman's work about an incident at a fictional small eastern college. One of the school's few black students receives threatening letters. And the campus erupts as students and faculty alike try to define their own politically correct views on race.
Whoa.
That might be pretty good. If you see that around, if you see that coming on, let
What's
me know.
What's it called?
It's called Spinning Into Butter. And then on it says, Heller Artistic Director Julie Tattershall said that she can see why a friend of hers called the piece a white person's racist play. She sees why the play is thought of as both offensive and as an eye-opener. So if you guys out there hear about this spinning in the butter, it sounds like something good. Well, that racism, man. You know that guy went over there, paid $80,000 to drive a truck in Iraq, and they captured him, and he got out somehow, and they went...
Oh, yeah, he was running down naked the streets.
Well, he's from Macon, Mississippi, and, God, they got parades going for him, the churches all clanging their bells for him, and all this shit, and it was just nothing but a... he went over there just for money.
Maybe if I run down naked the street, they'll have a parade for me.
Yeah, maybe you get your Ford over there and get them going.
Yeah.
$80,000 they paid the guy. Whoa. But these people are treating him like he was a war hero.
I know.
How about that?
Well, this war needs all the heroes that can get a sinking ship.
They've had a hell of a time finding heroes. Well, this is for the dumb and dumber deal.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a skinhead.
Mm-hmm.
Informants lead to arrest in firebombing. Well, the informants told FBI agents that a neo-Nazi filmed his attempt to firebomb an Oklahoma City synagogue, according to federal court papers. Within days of fellow white supremacists informing on Sean Michael Gillespie, authorities arrested the 20-year-old for throwing a Molotov cocktail at the Temple B'nai Israel, causing a small fire. Now, here's a guy so stupid, he videotaped his own crime.
Yeah.
Now, number one, what the hell does anybody gain one way or the other by burning down a damn synagogue?
Who cares?
I don't understand where this comes from. It's been an albatross around our neck for a long time that somebody out
there... Well, you know where it comes from? It comes from television and stuff, because always they portray on TV that white nationalists are always setting fire on synagogues, therefore all these dumb shits that don't know shit about anything say, oh, since I've seen it on TV, it must be true, so then they go out and hit a synagogue.
I have never seen anybody leader in this struggle ever say that it'd be good to burn down synagogues.
I know. You know, what would be the point? All you do is get sympathy for the Jews,
well,
and then you go to jail. Then it gives the police the right to come after you.
They're insured up the ass. And, you know, what the hell?
They get new synagogues.
Yeah.
You go to prison, and then it gives the fucking ADL the right to have investigate us and have the FBI come after us and everything.
You remember that Mike Canale up in L.A.
that
used to work? He was part of the Nazi 50. He was 50% of the Nazi party in L.A. Then he went out there, burnt that synagogue, and then he stood across the street and watched it burn, and they arrested him.
he was a police informant from way back.
Oh, yeah.
And then the funny thing is, and John Hart, he's an informant for the L.A. Police Department, so 100% of the Nazi party were informants. all two guys in
there. And then Irv Rubin of the JDL recruited Canale, the Nazi, into the JDL.
And then Canale knocked on the JDL to the FBI. Because Canale, I think that his uncle was in, like, supposedly some...
supposedly part of the mob.
Mob or something. He think that his uncle and stuff.
Yeah, and his own father wanted to kill him.
Yeah, because he's a rat.
Oh, jeez. Well, I see they got a new... federal building there in Oklahoma City. They had a big celebration there. I see all these people with earplugs in their ears. What's that all about? Just kidding. But it looks like this new federal building is not very high.
Oh.
In fact, it only looks like, if this is the right picture, it looks like it's only 3 stories high.
Oh.
Do you think there's a message there?
Yeah.
I guess they put the fear into them, man.
Won't fall so much.
But all the, you know, that trial's still going on back there.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that
they want to get you and everybody. They're reaching to get somebody.
Well, that lunatic Carol Howell, she'll tell them anything.
Oh, did they call her up?
Yes.
Well, even the FBI says she's fucking insane.
Yeah, right. But I'll tell you, a lot of those writers, newspaper people think she's really got the
well, the thing is that the journalists don't give a shit what the truth is and stuff, as long as they say something negative about it.
Well, they got that camp down there, Elohim City, that they say everybody went to.
Yeah.
Man, down there trying to get a straight story out of there would be impossible.
Yeah.
It was like a kettle of worms. And there was the German kid, Strassmeyer. Yeah. Like I said, I couldn't even understand.
Yeah, like I understand that he couldn't even speak English, and they say that he was talking to McVeigh and stuff, but it'd be helpful if he could speak... in the English language, Ms. McVeigh could speak German.
Well, I got a big picture here. It says, love on the battlefield, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Mosley, 20, nigger, and Sarah Ray, 23.
Nigger fucking white whore.
White gal, a white slut. And so that's what the Iraqi wars are bringing.
That's what democracy is all about.
You know, since the army is about, 50% non-white?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's all they do is go after these women, especially the white women.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go again. This war is race mixing, you know, with all these people.
Well, yeah,
and the nigger mom says, "I'm so proud and thankful my son is home. I mean, I was a praying mother, and to bring Sarah home with him was an added blessing."
Hallelujah!
Isn't that wonderful?
Good addition to their church.
Oh yeah, I bet he's a good Christian too.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, there's somebody spilled the beans on Christianity in this little letter here.
Oh.
Carlton Pearson's only mistake was he underestimated the financial loss to his church when he told Christians they might not be the only ones going to heaven. Oh. You need only to look at the sizes of the churches in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and their Christian broadcasting network to see that Christianity is a multi-billion dollar industry. In fact, it's about $450 billion a year in this country. Isn't it convenient that if you convince people that the only way they're going to heaven is if they get saved, and the only way to get saved is to go to a church and donate money, doesn't matter if you're the Pope or a mass murderer on death row, if you get saved, you're going to heaven. There are millions of decent people around the world who have led Christian lives, blah, 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 blah. You know, he gets part of the story, but he still don't understand.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a scam.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a scam, doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, boys and girls, it's time to fess up and get the money up. Let's get the money in here, get the orders in here, get the subs in here, or Dr. Caldenberg is going to be coming to your house and knocking on your door.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And we don't care where you're at, we're going to find you. We know how to find people, don't we?
Yeah.
We'll bring our weapons of mass destruction with us, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ones that, you know those ones I got out in the backyard?
Oh, you mean Bandit?
No, not Bandit, man. I'm telling you. Say, anyhow, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And get those subs in, and what is it, about the 20th now of May?
Yeah.
So it won't be too long. We've got another newspaper coming
out.
And order 1,000 of them, and man, really wake up your town.
That's true.
Yeah, they'll always give you headlines if you put out the war paper.
Yeah.
Well, I see in the news that they want to try to stifle the internet again. And get us dirty birds off there.
Well, you know, I was reading, I don't know if it's the same one as you, but I was reading it, and it was talking about hate on the internet, and it's kind of bizarre how convoluted their logic is. They talked about Christian fundamentalism. They talked about the Matt Hale case. They were saying stuff that since he went to jail, that the FBI is going to intensify their effort on the internet because the internet breeds hate. But Matt Hale had nothing to do with the internet or anything. He was set up by the FBI in a private meeting. It wasn't over the internet.
Well, no, but he did put the judge's name and address and all that stuff on the internet.
Because
I told him, I emailed him back. I said, you shouldn't do that because you're getting close to the line there. But he never emailed me back. So.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's, well...
And then they had a thing on there about a sexual harassment, some guy emailing some girl some sexual thing. And I mean, all of this had to do with hate crime laws. You know, what the hell would probably some leftist guy sending some nasty emails to some girl have to do with us, you know? Or to some fucking fundamentalist Christians, you know?
I ended up real simple. I was putting it on the internet, and I would say, cut off my free speech. Stop free speech, violence begins.
Oh, yeah.
Because then we'll have all the time to think about violence.
Yeah.
If we don't have time to, if we're not putting on radio shows and all this stuff and publishing newspapers and all this and the usual suspects aren't having their meetings and all that kind of stuff, well, then guess what we'll be doing probably?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so funny about this war on terrorism. It's just like, you know, the prohibition, the war on drugs. It's the more they fight it, the more people they pissed off, and the more problems they make. And this war on terror, I think the war on terrorism is going to be the end of America, because they're just going to piss off way too many people. There are people that are slightly unhappy with America are going to be extremely unhappy, and people who are extremely unhappy are going to be even more extremely unhappy.
Won't be the end of America. It'll be not this real estate. I mean, it's going to be the end of who controls it.
Yeah, by America, I mean democracy and capitalism. That's America.
Well, we'll feed, man. I'll be dancing in the street when that happens. Yeah.
I don't consider myself an American.
They got a place out there. They're building a dump. They want to build a dump out here several miles from town. And they're
you mean Temecula?
No, right out here, on South 15. Oh. Anyhow, they want to. And the reason I know they're going to build 1,500 houses across the street, so all these rich developers are pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, they got card tables down at the grocery store, and they're bitching about it, you know. And, hey, sign this to stop the garbage dump. And I said, hell no. Get a million wetbacks out of here. You don't need a dump.
Yeah.
The only reason you need a dump is overpopulation. Yeah. The guy looks at me like, oh, you're not playing the game right, man. You're not PC. You know, I scream that stuff right in front of all the Mexicans, too. You know, they cower down. They look the other way and stuff. They don't challenge you at all.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Kallenberg, it's just about the clock on the wall has come around to that time, and we're going to have to get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know how eventful this show is going to be, but I think that it'll improve the intellect of the masses. Don't you think so?
Not the masses. The masses are brain dead.
Oh, well,
hopefully the elite cadre.
At least two or three, huh?
The elite cadre.
Okay, we're out of here. See you next time.